Welcome back to another edition of Small Biz Survival. I'm Becky McCray, and today I'm talking with Dan Gordon. Dan, tell us what your business is and where you're located.
Thanks. Yes, Becky. Our business is a 106-year, four-generation jewelry business in Oklahoma City, and I am the president of the company in the fourth generation.
Now, Oklahoma City is not exactly a small town, and you know Small Biz Survival is all small town business, but you have lived in a small town.
I have. I was much younger. I've lived in Gainesville, Georgia for a year's period. I was pretty young, but yeah, I mean, I have a lot of friends that have, moved to the city from smaller towns and really familiar, a little familiar, I should say, with the differences, how everything kind of, everybody knows everybody's business a little bit more. So, yeah, I have.
I think there are also some similarities between being in a smaller city like Oklahoma City compared to, say, Dallas or being in Chicago. I think there are some similarities between that and being in a small town as well.
And absolutely. Yeah.
And especially, I think, in jewelry business, where everyone knows everyone's business, I think that some of those things bring some similarities. Do you think that kind of small town thinking influences your business in any way?
That's a great point, and it definitely does, because when we go to these jewelry trade shows and these designers, manufacturers that we buy from, a lot of them are changing up now with the way the world's changing, but they would apply, I like your phrase, small town rules, because they would apply the buying rules to all cities, whether it was a Dallas or, a Phoenix or an Oklahoma City. And it's truly a different dynamic in a city that isn't huge versus a major big market. So, yeah, I mean, the competition all knows who one another is here. A lot of employees have worked at the different competitor stores. So it puts this whole different twist on the, on the business itself, the industry locally.
And you're also in a real traditional industry. I mean, you have your business itself is over 100 years old. The jewelry business has to be a very traditional business, and you are playing the role of changing things. So you're kind of bridging two worlds there. And I think that's something that young people in small towns are also trying to do, some bridging between the way things have been done forever in small towns and the way that younger people would like to make them happen. So how have you found that's helped you to build that bridge between two worlds and move things forward that might be useful to other folks?
With the internet tools and social tools and all the blogging and everything that we can now get our message out. And I know you have to be careful on the corporate side if you're working for your parents, or if you're your boss, you don't want to do anything without permission. But I think I really have always been into tech, and this has been a natural progression for myself. But once I connected up with a bunch of people, and once I got some visibility within the trade in the very beginning, and then that's kind of, just grown from there, what happens is I see that when people see that it's working, if you can just get your kind of, your foot in the door and have a little bit of results and success, and whoever the powers that be might see that are the decision makers for whatever organization you're involved in, once they get a little taste of that, they may or may not understand it or endorse it. But it just, I think you have to be brave, and you have to work at it, and you have to really produce some results with it, or it's going to be difficult in a situation where it's being not accepted, if that makes sense. So
you are very much into the online tools. You are very social to start with, but you're also competitive about being social, which I think is very fascinating. How many times have you hit the daily limit for Twitter updates?
I quite a few. I mean, I didn't even know that existed, and then I've learned about API limits. I tweet a lot, but this whole thing for me, I'm very lucky that it's just fun, and it's I love meeting people, you're right, and I love connecting up with new people. And I say this a lot, but I love learning from people because when I was younger and I have had a lot of lifelong friends and good friends, but they weren't in all the tech stuff. And as I've gotten into forming online relationships, you know, I've met developers and, you know, people that have same interests as me. So there's so many people that are so smart that have knowledge of stuff that I'm so interested in, but it goes back to the small town. You know, there's not a million gazillion tech people. Now I've found them now that I'm, you know, meeting up with people through Twitter who, you know, usually have that same interest. So it's just been an amazing way to meet so many really wonderful people and add and gain value from one another. So it's kind of like a different adventure every day, you know.
You've hit on one of the key points about social networking is that if you come to it with the approach of learning from people, as opposed to going to it with the approach of selling to people, you will be far more successful.
Yeah, that's something that's my in real life personality. And, you know, with very little, actually zero sales training, didn't really get too far in college. I mean, I'm a product of my life experiences. So I think that's kind of why I'm kind of cut from that, is to where I'm trying to sponge up. What, you know, I can pretty much tell when I meet a person if, you know, they're for real or not, so to speak. So I really latch on to the people that are, because I want to learn and I want to pass it on. And I think it's just this neat way of, you know, really learning a lot more about life than, you know, it's very hard for me and always has been to, as you well know, to sit in a classroom or anything of that sort. So I've had to resort to, I think for me, it's been, you know, a much better way. So
now for your business, what is your mix between things that are online, non-traditional advertising or marketing activities, and the traditional print or any of the traditional media? How does the mix break down for your business now?
It's pretty much, it's going to close to 100%. We have probably 90 or 95% is digital, whether it's the blog, the site, Twitter, Facebook, you know, all everything combined online. We have a banner ad on a masthead banner ad on the front page of the lifestyle section of the Oklahoman. And it's such good placement, and it's something kind of we've been doing for years, and we've kind of not let that go because of where that ad's located in the newspaper. So we still do newspaper. We've built a lot of billboard in the past, and I firmly believe in it. We're not running a campaign right now, but and up until recently we were doing airport advertising, which was doing fantastic. JCDecaux, which was the company handling that, it's changed hands. So we're going to wait and see what happens. I think that it's going a lot digital in Will Rogers, and we want to investigate more about that with the new company. And so I firmly do believe in like niche publications still, like country club magazines we do, anything kind of local that has good readership. I think that the little guys are winning in this new economy, because I think people are more likely to pick up a journal record or, you know, just a local publication that has to do with, you know, almost like a social media paper in the sense that it's about them or their friends or their community, as opposed to a news source, you know. So very little at this point. So.
Okay, very good. Let's talk just a little bit more about family business. There is nothing more complicated in the world than working with family. And actually, my business is a family business and your business is a family business. There's a lot of family businesses out there in the small towns. And I do know that you have said that you were given a choice about whether you joined the business, and that you started away from the business and came into it. And when you did, you started on the back end. Tell us about some of the things that you have learned about working with family that might help some of those other small family businesses.
Sure. I mean, I'm sure every situation's different, but some rules of thumb are is that when you're coming in, if depending upon how many years the employees that have worked for the parents or the prior generation, I think you really have to focus on you have to earn their respect 10, 100, a million times more so than another fellow employee would from the organization that wasn't family. And the reason being is, I mean, it's pretty obvious is that, that is it's a family business. It's very easy to perceive that the keys are just being thrown to you and handed off, and you don't have to work for it. And, I have a lot of friends that work for family businesses as well. And, we talk about this is that I would feel the same way if I was going into one. They're a different dynamic. They're usually a family with themselves, so you've got to earn the right and the respect to fit in with everyone else, because the truth is the employees are your boss and they make your company. And as you learn when after you've been in for a while and figure out your own talents, if you end up sticking with it and your own passions and your own strengths and weaknesses, I think then that's when it gets fun, because you get to, be one of the family. So that would be my biggest recommendation, is just earn your keep. Don't go into it thinking this is my family, because truly they're your family. And I think you really have to focus and know that, and go in with as humble of an attitude as you can possibly be. And if you're not that type of personality, I just don't see how it can work out. I'm lucky that I am wired that way and always have been. So work hard, stay humble, earn respect, and prove that you have something to add. That's what it's all about, because the company and the family needs to stay separate. The emotions can't be put into play, and that's very much easier said than done. And it's not going to be done perfectly. There's no way. There's going to be lots of rockiness, and unless you have a family that, I'm sure there are some instances, but I think more the case, you got to work at it. It's a marriage. It's all those things.
I don't know that I have ever seen one of those family businesses that we think must exist, where everyone just communicates openly and everything is free and easy and they just get along and it's all so good. I'm sure somebody's like that, but I have never ever seen one.
I haven't either, and I think if they do exist, it's just like maybe on TV and movies and stuff like that. So.
One of the things that we talk about at Small Biz Survival is failure, because if you're in business, you are going to do some things that do not work out and that you have to come back from. So, I'm going to ask you if you've ever had something that, or if there's something that you can share, because I know that nobody likes to talk about things that don't go well, but that's certainly where we learn a lot of the things that we end up learning about business. Can you tell us about something that you've tried that didn't work out the way you wanted it to?
Gosh, that is a great question, and I'm trying to think. I've tried so many things, and here's my situation is that before it gets to be a failure, I will stop. So I try lots of things. I think maybe one of the latest failures, because I've had so many, but I don't let them become failures that equal a result that is consequential to the company, if that makes sense. But
Yeah.
I think one thing that I'm focusing on now that I could consider probably a failure is doing too much. And it's a big buzz topic on the web right now, but spreading yourself so thin that you can't focus on some key efforts, whether it's online efforts or in the store. I think I need to, I've been refocusing to go within the organization and, talk about customer service and work more on my business instead of, I would say in it, or know that the online stuff has is a great tool and has a great place, but kind of, I don't know, just refocusing on where I need to be effort wise. So I think I did maybe go too far off into saying I'm going to do all this stuff and I'm just going to, and then you end up scatterbrained. So that has been a failure. Luckily it hasn't produced anything, but maybe it has taken me away from some stuff that I need to get back at on. So
Do you make a habit of taking time, setting aside specific time to do a review of where are we, of taking stock, either personally or for the business?
I do. As my role gets more in that of leadership, because my father has been running the company for quite some time, and that's something that I'm focusing on for me is a strategy. And we have a sales manager, and he's also a very good friend. And what I'm trying to sit down is have more of a plan for the organization of the company itself. So those are actually things I'm kind of working on. It's interesting you bring that up as we speak. He and I to have a weekly meeting to say, okay, here's what we need to do. Here's what's not working. And here's some ideas. And I want the employees very much involved with ideas going forward. I've got a lot on the plate as far as what I'd like to initiate, but having a big whiteboard in the break room, people throwing up, it's been done at many different companies, large and small, but I really want to tap more into hear what we're doing wrong. I think that's something that's very much on the plate and being worked out, actually, is kind of as we speak.
Okay, well, very good. I'm glad that worked out. If the answer had been, no, we don't do anything like that, I'd have felt silly.
No, it's a great question.
Okay, so I really appreciate your time. The last question that I'd like to ask you today is about advice, because this is... Everybody has business advice. We've all received a bunch, and especially when you're in a family business, I know that everyone has given you advice about business. So is there a piece of advice that you value most or that you would most like to pass along, even if it's advice of your own that you're making up to pass along?
Yeah, I would just say as far as family businesses go, that you really have to, like I said, earn respect and learn which battles to pick, which not to. If you are someone who really wants to make a change in your company and, you have lots of really remarkable ideas that you know will work, but that are being held back, just be careful on how you try to initiate these, because there comes a point in time where if you force it too much, you'll never get that chance. So I think it's really – actually, I have a really neat phrase my granddad who's no longer with us, died many years ago, but was the second generation. And he passed along to my grandmother, who while she was alive, passed to me as the drip drop method. And it's kind of like the same thing as baby steps, and is that you just go a little bit at a time. And before you know it, with a lot of patience and a lot of hard work, you'll get there, hopefully. But I just don't think anything can be forced or fast forward. And that might be why my personality has taught me that, I'm so patient. I almost like to wait in line. It's really ridiculous, but I not always, but I'm a very patient person. So that's what I'd say.
Okay. That's good advice. I like it. The drip drop method. I like it.
Yes.
You'll be hearing that everywhere now.
Yeah. It's worked. So, I get that.
What was Grandfather Gordon's name, his first name?
Norman. Yeah.
All right. Norman. We'll credit him. Grandpa Norman gets credit for the drip drop method.
He does. Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you.
I need to trademark that now.
You do. You better run out and do it. After the Taco Tuesday debacle in Oklahoma City, then you had better get out and get your trademark on it.
Oh, my God. I know. So.
Thank you very, very much for taking time out of your day. I know that you are at the business right now and have paused in your workday to talk to us. We appreciate the insights from over 100 years of family business.
Well, I'm grateful to get to talk to you, Becky, and thank you very, very much.
This has been another edition of Small Biz Survival. Thanks to Dan Gordon with Samuel Gordon's Jewelers for taking time to talk to us today.